This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Everybody, Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and we are back with a new episode of the Defocus Media Podcast. You can see I'm joined with Dr. Daryl Glover.
Jen, what's up? I miss you, Jen. I feel like I haven't seen your face in so long. I see you online, but I need to see you in person. I need to see Peony. We need to see each other, but I know we've been going through all this reopening of eye care and trying to deal with our practices, so it's been quite busy.
I know. We live in the same town. We practice probably 10 minutes away from each other. But the world is a totally different place. And that's what we're really going to be talking about this evening. You know, offices around the country are reopening. They're seeing their patients, but it's a totally new world. You've got the PPE. You've got screening your patients and temperature checks. You've got all the extra cleaning in between the patients, managing your waiting areas. How do you manage your optical space? And here's the thing about it. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. This is not a temporary issue. So with all these new protocols in place, they're constantly evolving. They're constantly changing. So how you treat things right now might change again next week or the next week. And we need resources as doctors to stay up to date on that. And that's why I'm really excited to introduce our guests, because they are part of a new initiative from the Vision Council called ReopenEyeCare.com. And it's providing a hub of information and resources and data to help doctors not just reopen their practices, but stay up to date and maintain the health of their practices throughout the long term on this. So we're joined by Dr. Justin Manning. He is the Executive Vice President of Healthy Eyes Advantage and the leading member of the advisory board for Reopen Eye Care. And Dr. Katie Greiner, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Northeast Ohio Eye Surgeons and a member of the advisory board. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks so much for having
us. Well, we want to get to know you guys a little bit better. And Dr. Manning, you've been a guest on the Defocus Media Podcast before, about a year ago. So fill us in about your life and what you've got going on.
Oh, geez. Well, hey, thanks for having me back. You know, it was a privilege for me to be able to be here on the podcast a year ago, and just to be able to come back is pretty awesome. And a lot has changed since I was on. We were laughing earlier that it's been since May 13th of last year that we recorded the last podcast. So it's kind of crazy how fast time has gone.
Time flies when you're having fun. That's what it is.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. And frankly, that is what I'm doing. I'm having a lot of fun. So when I was on, I was last time. Since then, I transitioned out of practice. I spent some time consulting for a few months at the end of last year, and then November 1st, I started in my new role with Healthy Eyes Advantage, the largest buying group in the industry for independent eye care professionals. So we focus on opticians, optometrists, and ophthalmologists, providing, really, we're building the next generation marketplace. So the spot that any independent can purchase all of the things that they need to run and grow their practices, from frames, ophthalmic lenses, contact lenses, all the way through business services, consulting advice, everything, like I said, that they need. So that's what I'm up to now. I get to direct the professional strategies of the company. So when we bring on new vendor partners, or when we, you know, look to add new member benefits, that's what I get to do. So it's a lot of fun. So, wow. Yeah.
Dr. Greiner, tell us about yourself, because you have a really exciting role at your practice, it sounds like.
It is. It's ever-changing. It's a really great work-life balance for me. So I am a part-time optometrist focusing in specialty lens care, and the rest of my job duties are now as our COO for 5 offices and a surgery center. So we have 12 physicians for our surgeons, and the rest are optometrists. And we shut down for COVID reasons on March 17th. And during that time, we did provide essential care to the patients. But I really made my mission over those almost 2 months to work on how to reopen our office with the proper safety protocols that I know you talked about right at the beginning of this episode, things that we've put in place. And because I get to also be a clinician, I can see those things in action and make sure that they're being rolled out appropriately and continue to work on it from both sides of the spectrum. So I really enjoy my role. It's ever changing. The new normal is not normal. It's changing every day. I just finished a training with our managers on how to manage through change. Right before this podcast, we were on a Zoom call doing that. And it ended up kind of being how to manage through a crisis and how to manage your emotions. And I hope that's something we also touch on tonight, is that, you know, there's a lot of emotions tied to this as well. And so I think there's so many aspects we all need to work on managing. And we're trying to do that day to day. And the Reopen Eye Care website is a great resource for people that I'm happy to help contribute to and learn from myself.
So I'm curious, who came up with this concept, this idea, Reopen Eye Care? I mean, who? Tell me the eye care guys that said, let this take place, because it is something that we definitely needed. But who are the brains behind this? I mean, let's talk about that, because we got to give them love and give them credit, because we all are eye care professionals and we cannot do it alone. So we need to do it as a collective, as a group. And I just want to take my hat off to that person and thank them personally online for coming up with this amazing concept and this amazing website that we're going to dive deep into this evening.
So yeah, when it comes to putting together Reopen Eye Care, just as Dr. Griner will talk to you about how she, you know, they closed on March 17th and on March 18th, they were right at work working on their reopening plan and strategy. So from an industry perspective, reopeneyecare.com was born out of a number of industry CEOs picking up the phone and organically just talking with each other, discussing the trends, discussing the business aspects, and really how they were going to work to keep their companies moving forward, but also the need of how the industry can support independent eye care providers to reopen their practices successfully when the time came. So ultimately, you know, one person called another, and then after that conversation, that person called somebody else. And the next thing you know, you got a group of industry leaders together meeting regularly to put together the content on the site. So when it comes to the individuals who are on the site or who work together to create Reopen Eye Care, you have Marty Bassett from Wallman Optical, Ed Buffington from GPN, Dave Shute from Thin Optics, Mark Ferrara from Jobson, David Friedfeld from Clear Vision, Dr. Gary Gerber from The Power Practice, HEA CEO Jim McGran. You have Jamie Rosen from Rosen Eye Care and John Ryan from United Healthcare. I got involved in the project a little bit later on as they're working to, as a site, the group was working to put together an advisory board to continue moving the process forward and really making sure that the content that is on the site is pertinent, is relevant, and helpful to the ultimately the end user, which is the independent. So that's how I got involved. And you know, when it came time to put the advisory board together, that's why Dr. Griner's here with us, because I knew she would be an absolute expert opinion that we would be missed to have. So
I think something huge to mention about this is that all the people that he listed are volunteering their time to do this. You know, this is something they just felt an internal passion for and said, how do we collaborate and put this out there? And it wasn't for dollars and cents and for advertising purposes. It was just to help all of us out there that are looking for some resource when we're left kind of feeling like there's no resource available.
That's very true. Yep. It's a completely volunteer group. The site in general is non-commercial. So while you'll find information, resources from not only the companies that we represent, but companies across the industry, it's meant to be just that, an apolitical, non-commercial resource for the independent.
And as Justin mentioned, you know, we did really start strategizing literally the next day. And we ran into many hiccups and failures along the way. And so what I want to help in my contributions to that is that people don't have to make those same mistakes that we were trying to work through, and that they can hit the ground running with faster successes. So a lot of our learning curves are built into the website.
It's such a great resource when you look, you know, at the data and the information available. And I think, you know, people's gut instincts right now, a lot of times are to say, well, I've reopened. I know about this COVID stuff, right? Like I just need to see patients. I just need to focus on what's in my chair and making sure that my business is running. But I think if you've got that mindset, you're missing that this is such a fluid and moving situation. And when an unexpected hurdle does come in your face, you're not going to know how to deal with it. An example that comes to mind is just yesterday in patient care. We saw a patient who told us that she had known exposure to COVID-19 and she had gotten a test and was awaiting results. And it's like, what do we do in this situation? And we made the ultimate decision that we can't put the, you know, anyone else in the office in jeopardy until we have, you know, no results in. But this is a person who passed a temperature check, who passed all the other screening questions, and there's all these gray areas and doctors just don't know what to do. So, you know, it's great to have a resource where you can ask someone that's been there and done the research, because you're going to come up with questions that you've not read the answer to yet.
Exactly. And it pulls from a lot of very reliable sources, you know, from our national organizations, from the CDC. But instead of you having to read through pages and pages to find that one tidbit you need, it's in little sound bites and little snippets there through the website that are easy to digest.
Yeah, I noticed that earlier when I was reviewing over it. I was like, this is my style here.
My style, yes.
I consume so much information that sometimes I just don't have time to read an entire article. So I need all the main points, that way I can move on and to the next big thing. You know, we keep hearing how you're such an expert and good expertise and a part of this advisory board. Let's talk about this board. Who else is on the board? And how were you guys selected for this board? I mean, was it you, Justin? You just said, I need you, and basically put together the dream team. And now we're about to take over the world and make sure everyone can reopen up their practice perfectly. Is that the deal?
Well, I'd like to say that, yes, that was the goal. But really, it came down to, you know, knowing that the site is geared towards all three of our O's, our opticians, our ophthalmologists, and our optometrists as well. I wanted to make sure that we represented the each profession. I wanted to make sure that we had individuals who, frankly, could look at the site and go, yeah, that's not working for me. Or, you know, in theory, that's a great article, but again, that doesn't help me where I'm at right now. What we as a profession, what I need as a practice, what my colleagues need is X, Y, and Z. And that's really where we started, where I started building this team. So we have Dr. Greiner, who represents, I mean, really can represent all facets, but in leadership and ophthalmology, in an ophthalmology practice as a practicing optometrist with an MBA. So really knowing the industry inside and out. We have Dr. Adam Ramsey from Socialite Vision in Florida. We have Dibby Bartlett, who is the president of the Opticians Association and works for Todd Rogers Eyewear. We have Jeff Jones from out in Colorado, who's an ophthalmologist. We've built a strong group. We have Fernell Walker, who is a master optician and also on the industry side as well. So when it comes to the individuals that we put together as a team, they really represent optometrists, ophthalmologists, opticians from across the country, different geographic regions, but all experts. And really, as I mentioned at the beginning, at the core, can look at the site and say, that's great. That's super helpful. This is not. Here's what we need to fix. And not only that, how we should go about fixing it.
Well, tell me this. I want both of you to give me an answer to this. I need the honest answer. When you had your first board meeting, did Dr. Adam Ramsey speak the entire time and tell you that you needed to change everything?
No, only because he was the last one to join. So we're by the time he got on there. But don't worry, he gave us his opinion.
And you know what? His advice is always right. So whatever he wants to blow up.
Why do you think that I reached out to him pretty quickly to say, hey, I need you on this advisory board? Because he's one who will tell you this is exactly what needs to change.
It's an honest team, but a really fun team. Fernell's a really fun guy too. It's a good group of people.
He is.
So y'all have compiled industry minds from, like you said, all over the country across multiple eye care disciplines. And obviously, many of you guys are on the front line seeing patients, but a lot of people also on the industry side of things. And so I, you know, want to talk to you guys a little bit about what doctors should be really focusing on right now. Let's say they're a couple of weeks past reopening and they're getting into that kind of grunt meal, like I'm running through the the hamster wheel again with patient care and starting to lose focus on what the bigger issues are out there. So what do you want them to really focus their attention to right now?
I think as just in general, we're all getting more comfortable with what's going on in the environment because it's just been around now for so long that you don't get lax on what your protocols are, that there's a constant reminder to your doctors and staff, anyone present in your office, how you're keeping everybody safe. You know, at lunchtime, you start seeing staff sitting closer without masks and socializing more than they should be. And it's just starting to get comfortable again. They feel like they're back to their old days. And you just have to start reminding everybody, you know, we have to have our best face forward to keep all of us safe, making sure that in front of the patients, you are physically washing or Purelling your hands right before you're doing anything or putting your clean gloves on right before that. So all of that matters. And you can just start getting into your old habits because you've been doing that for your whole career and you just can't get lax there. So I think now that people are kind of in the grind, they just have to remember that there's still protocols in place.
And I think, you know, in general, you doctors really need to be vigilant. And to Katie's point, they have to be vigilant about their sanitation and hygiene protocols to keep their patients and their staff safe. But they also have to be vigilant about their business as well. You know, and we can get into probably this a little bit more down the road, but I really see that there's kind of two camps of practices right now. There's those that are really struggling to get patients through the door, really struggling to capture sales and reopen successfully. And you have the other camp of practices who are doing really, really well, who are 90, 100% of where they were pre-COVID from a patient volume standpoint. And, you know, they may have even leaned out their staff a little bit, so they're running a bit more efficient. They're capturing eyewear sales because patients like the convenience of not having to leave, get in their car, put a mask on and go someplace else to go buy their glasses or take the extra time to purchase their contact lenses online. There's a lot of practices that are experiencing increased capture rates. So both camps really need to be vigilant about their business planning and how they're going to either get patients through the door, improve their communication, improve their and I'll say marketing to their patients to let them know, hey, we're open and these are all the steps that we're taking to keep you safe. And this is why it's important for your visual health as well as your entire health and wellness to come in and be seen. And those that are who are doing really, really well need to be vigilant for how they're going to anticipate the potential for change, the potential for a hotspot spike and more localized, you know, shutdowns, or how they're going to deal with, okay, we've got through all this really backed up, pent up demand. And then now, okay, things have kind of climbed again and people are not comfortable going out and being seen. So how are you preparing now to be ready for if hopefully that it doesn't happen, but if it happens, how are you planning now to be ready for that? So again, you know, not just in patient care protocols, but also in the business side and being vigilant.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's really important. What you're saying, Justin, is capitalize on the patient that's in your chair. You know, make sure all their needs are met. What do they need that day so that they don't have to come back, you know, a couple days later for more needs or a couple weeks later? Capitalize while they're there. Get the testing done that needs done. Get the eyewear, the glasses, the contacts, whatever that looks like. Our LASIK business is busier than ever right now. People are interested in that. So make sure you're talking to them about anything that could benefit them, especially during these times. That might be a convenient thing they can do. They're working from home and they don't mind, you know, going through a weekend surgery and taking a couple of days to relax at home after that. So just making sure you're meeting all their needs.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing you mentioned, marketing. Marketing is huge right now. And I really hope a lot of practices have really started listening to what Jen and I have been preaching for years. Social media, having a digital presence. Because if you did not have a digital presence prior to COVID-19, you really screwed yourself over. Because, I mean, how else are you going to communicate with your patients? I mean, patients, I just read something the other day where they stated that 55% of people are looking at news on social media. And now with social media, yes, there's fake news out there, but you got Facebook and Instagram that are now really cracking down on that. They're taking those posts down. They're popping up reliable resources on the top of those feeds from the CDC to the World Health Organization. So I was doing a lecture the other night and I was saying, I foresee at some point in time, these social media platforms allowing us to actually have an ad to be that person that go to that pops up on the social media area and that stays there for a while down the road. I mean, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, that's more income for them. But I think, you know, the power of social media has been missed in our industry. And I just hope now that people actually realize how powerful it is and how you can have multiple touch points with your patients throughout the year. And when you're going through a difficult time like now, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's riots, whether it's racial tensions, whether it's a tornado, a hurricane, whatever, you're able to utilize that platform to be able to communicate to your patients. So I really hope that if anything from our profession, they learn the importance of social media. Jean, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I want to take this opportunity to ask all of you guys what your practice has been marketing, because obviously early on, we were talking a lot about COVID-19 and safety precautions, and then it became all about reopening. Now we're a few weeks out and, you know, there's this question, like, when do I start marketing our eyewear again? Or, you know, what are my posts supposed to be like? So I want to get your feedback on what you feel like is a good mix of posts at the moment.
We have a big presence on social media, so you'll be proud of us. That's something that we've had for a while, and it is very helpful. See, I'll do that. Yeah, it's been really good for the practice, and we use also software that does a lot of our marketing and emails to our patients. So our highest open rate on email was very clearly through the COVID times. But you're very right on how, you know, we did a lot of focus on what our precautions are and we're open for essential care and then we're reopening. But now we are switching that marketing. You know, we'll have reminders of how we're keeping it safe. Because like I said, we're trying to make sure that everyone remembers that there is a COVID concern going on and we are respecting that. But we have reopened marketing to LASIK and to our optical. And we've just been actually recently doing some highlighting features on our doctors. So we did some video clips of why they went into eye care and how they want to make a difference in the world. And I feel like it's that good that comes out of this time where we have people that are on the front lines making a difference. And so we've done these video reels for each of our 12 doctors, and we're slowly rolling those out each week and having a featured physician. And that's been really fun to see. And our engagement on social media has been really high because of that. It might be all of our aunts and uncles and grandparents, but we're okay with that. It's getting a lot of traction.
I guarantee you it's not. This is the thing about social media. And Jen and I have been saying this for the longest. People want someone that's authentic, someone that they can trust, someone that's just like them. Once you're able to develop that relationship and you have that intimate relationship, that patient will come into that exam room and they will tell you everything and they will open up their wallet and their purse and say, take it. Because all they want is just to develop that relationship. And social media is a good way to start from the outside and then come into that exam room and be able to prescribe from the chair and take it to the next level. Because that patient's going to tell you every single thing once they feel comfortable with you.
And it's fun to see their comments on everything. You know, you see patients of yours saying, way to go. I love seeing you on here. And they're really engaging and sharing with their whole network. So it is. It's touching thousands and thousands of lives just by that one post.
That's awesome.
I couldn't agree more. This is good.
I firmly believe people want to do business with those companies that they know, and they feel, and social media is such a powerful platform that when used well, you can build that relationship digitally with your patients, and your patients will know who you are and know who the business is and know why the business exists. And to Katie, your point, know the doctors and why they want to change the world and how they're going to do that. I mean, again, it just builds that connection, and people, especially in today's day and age, want to do business with businesses that they feel comfortable with.
And Reopen Eye Care has a lot of great posts that are available to doctors to put on their social media. If you don't know where to start or you don't have a marketing team, there's things that are available out there. And that segues us into something like telehealth, where is also a way that you're easily digitally connecting with your patients. There's information on Reopen Eye Care on that as well. But that's been just so personal with your patients during this time where they had nobody to talk to. And suddenly they have this familiar face that they used to see in the office and they're connecting with, sometimes for the first time that they've ever used any kind of video chat. I mean, we have 90-year-olds using telehealth and loving it. And now because they did it with their doctor, it opened up some of our patients to say, oh, I can do this with my grandkids. It's not that hard. So it's cool how we helped them form this family relationship just from one, check of their red eye.
That's awesome. Well, I want to talk a little bit about another feature of the website that's very business oriented, but this is actually the tab that I spent the most time on when I was looking at the website earlier. And there's an industry data tab that looks at statistics regarding our patient behavior and our patients' concerns. And back in April, this Vision Council data said that 38% of people were saying they plan to postpone eye care, postpone eyewear purchases. But we've seen those trends changing and behavior of our consumers changing. As of May 4th, only 25% of the polled patients said that they were planning on delaying eye care or eyewear purchases. So the trend is good. It went from 38% down to 25%. But, you know, a quarter of our patients are still saying, hey, I plan to hold off coming in to see you. I plan to hold off making any eyewear purchases for a while. And so what should doctors be gleaning from this kind of information?
Really, the data is there to help you benchmark for practices to benchmark where they are. And really, when it comes down to knowledge is power. And if you don't know what's going on in the industry, if you don't know, where comparing region to region, and there's a lot of great information on patient preferences, patient thoughts on, as Jen, as you said, on if they're going to postpone or how many actually want to get in and get their eyes examined. Knowing that data helps you, getting back to marketing, market effectively, communicate effectively. And if you feel like you're struggling to get patients in, and that data they're showing you, there are a lot of practices in your area, in your state, that are doing really well, it helps to point you in the direction that, hey, I need to focus on my attention on these areas of my practice, because the demand is there, the opportunities are there. And or if the flip side is the case, if I feel like I'm struggling and I see, you know what, patients aren't getting out in my area or in my state to be seen, that information is also helpful from a communication and engagement with your patient standpoint. So really it comes back to data, and knowledge is power, and how you plan effectively, how you respond to where your practice is now based upon the trends out there.
And I think of that percentage, there are some patients that just won't be coming in during this time. And, you know, as long as they don't have severe eye disease, you know, we make sure that they feel comfort knowing that we can connect in a telemed way if they want to touch base. You know, obviously we can't dilate or refract that way, but if they just want to talk about something like their allergies or their dry eye, we certainly can address that in the short term. But I think also making sure your front desk staff that are talking to these patients have the right message that we can ensure safety. Making sure, here's another one for Daryl, your social media reviews that are out there, your Google reviews, you know, the patients that have come in that were a little nervous and can say, you know what, the safety protocols here made me feel so much safer being in this environment. Just having those messages out there, other people are reading that and saying, okay, well, that patient said they felt really good. I probably would too. And it might, we're starting to see some of those patients that were hesitant say, you know, I really can't go without my eye exam. I need to come in. My eyes have changed. I need to be seen. And we're seeing that number in our office slowly go down and down.
Yeah, I honestly, with practicing for who knows how many weeks now during this thing, I've seen an increase in capture rate. I've seen increase in multiples. And I'll be up front with you guys. I was killing it before, but now, oh my God,
really,
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, like, people want to spend, and we really have to take ownership of this time right now as eye care professionals, because this is a great time to educate patients about just being healthier. Number one, you could take all your patients in monthly and biweekly lenses and put them in a daily contact lens.
Yep.
You know, and increase your bottom line. You can talk to every single patient about the value of computer glasses, because most people are stuck at home looking at the computer screen all day. So we could be the heroes in our patients' lives if we actually sit down and give them the options, the solutions that they need to accommodate their lifestyle. So I'm loving it right now. I'm looking like a hero. I have my cape on every day at work, And when I leave, sometimes I take it home and sometimes I leave it there, but it just depends on if my son's up or not. So I could just kind of fly into the house. But this is a great time for optometry. And I think that we really need to take advantage of it. We need to be the leaders in the healthcare profession when it comes to it.
I agree.
I couldn't agree more.
It comes to, you know, comes down to convenience, as we talked about earlier. And we, as the provider, you, the doctor, we have the convenience of maybe a little bit extra time with our patients, especially if you're not at 100% of where you were before. That means you have more time. You have more time to educate your patients. You have more time to empathize with them, connect with them on a little bit deeper level, and get to the root cause, the bottom of their problems, so that and their vision issues. And you know, we live in such a fast-paced world that how often, even how good we are as providers, do we miss one or two things that would change how we educate or how we prescribe or how we ultimately treat a patient's problem right here and now versus waiting until the follow-up visit or picking it up two follow-up visits down the road. Now is the perfect opportunity to capture those pieces of information and to educate and connect on a deeper level with our patients and build that trust, because I think that's one piece of currency that will never go out of style is trust. It's all how we do business is with people that we trust. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that.
And as you reopen, definitely need to plan on that little bit of extra time to empathize with these patients because they need it and they want it.
Yeah. I agree. That's definitely been my experience where sometimes doctors will look and be like, well, I'm seeing less patients with people more spread out. I'll have more time to do my other admin work or do these other things while I'm in the office. I found actually the opposite to be true. My exams are taking longer than ever. One of my friends was like, well, maybe it's because we're rusty. We did not get rusty in a few months. It's just people that are coming in want that personal connection. They're going to ask you questions that have built up over those months that they were sitting at home thinking about how much they needed an eye exam. And they might come in with questions about, you know, their parents' eyes, their kids' eyes, and trying to decide if they can get help there without bringing them back for an appointment. So the exams are lengthier, but we're getting this rare opportunity to truly make a difference in their lives and establish that long-term relationship. So to me, it's really worth it to have that longer exam time.
Yeah, Jen, I love that you say that. I mean, I hope a lot of optometrists take from this that you don't need to see a million patients to touch lives, but also to have a good bottom line. I mean, right. You can see less and spend more time and really be able to prescribe what they truly need to solve whatever problems that they may have. And I'm seeing that firsthand. I mean, I was never one to see a million patients because I run my mouth too much. That couldn't happen. You know, it's not me. But, you know, I've seen some of my colleagues, they're not seeing as many patients and their numbers are either the same or higher than where they were before. So we just got to really, again, be the hero in this situation and make patients feel comfortable. And if we can do this, our patients will forever be loyal to our practice because we stuck with them through a difficult time.
For a lot of the patients, we're the first healthcare providers they're stepping out to see. So yes, they have comfort coming to us. And I think it's because optometry has done a really good job talking about the safety measures that are in place.
It's true.
I'm sure you guys have heard this. And many of the patients in our area, when they come in through the eyes and they're like, this is the safest place that I felt like I've been the entire time. Even mm-hmm. my patients that have been to their primary care office or to a physical therapy appointment. Optometry has been taking this really seriously, doing a great job getting the word out. And I applaud what you guys are doing with Reopen Eye Care because that's exactly what your mission is. And optometry is getting behind it, which is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Now is the time to think about your practice a little bit differently because we've been forced to think about our practices differently. Whether we've implemented telemedicine, telehealth approach because we had to, or we've implemented new ways of eye care, selling contact lenses online to our patients, or presetting our patients from a digital try-on standpoint, this is a great time to think about our practices differently. And that's another key piece of reopeneyecare.com, the site, having new ways of thinking about your practice and new ideas for where to go from here, make the most of those steps, those changes you made during this time. And so it's just a great site for thinking outside the box a little bit too.
Well, I have a question for both of you. Ladies first,
Well, thank you.
Justin, you have to sit back and relax. Okay. Right? We're going to have this one-on-one time right here. We're actually this way. You know, everything is opposite video on video, right? It's like we're doing the exam room. But no, if we have someone listening right now, what's the one thing that they should take from this podcast, from this video footage here? What is the one thing that they should take from the website or from this entire reopening eye care?
Be mindful in your planning. You're not going to go from 0 to 100% the first week and maybe not even the first month. So plan it out. Think about it. You can't be right at normal right from the beginning. And the site will help you figure that out. Because I think you'll really let yourself down and maybe even let your patients or the safety protocols down if you try to ramp too quickly. And then another topic would be plan for what could be coming. I know we referenced that earlier, but know that there is a possibility for resurgence. So what you're doing right now, make sure you're ready to do again later if you have to rebuild again.
All right, sir. It's finally your turn. All right.
No, and I'm glad that I'm glad you asked Dr. Grinder first, because that gave me a second to think about it, and really it gave her the moment to be the, you know, she is the expert, and I would follow that up with, don't underestimate the power of leadership in this process and the future, as well as the power of your team and the importance of your team throughout this entire process. You know, we as a practice, we're only as strong as the people that are involved in it. And your team, your staff, they're going to have their own pieces, their own challenges, their own emotions from how COVID affected them during the downtime. If they were furloughed or they were, you know, you have staff that may have been laid off and you're at a point now you need to bring them back. Those are all things that will affect the day to day. But when it comes to the leadership and leading effectively, how you cast the vision of recovery. I mean, again, these are challenging times. People are stressed. People are tense. You're going to have patients who are going to complain about, yeah, do I really have to wear a mask, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with some challenging issues on a day-to-day basis in practice. And don't underestimate, you know, as the owner, as the leader in the practice, the power that you have to impact. And also how necessary it is to leverage your entire team in moving the practice forward, in ramping back up and reopening and recovering successfully.
Daryl, I know this is something that you've spoken passionately about before, and it served as a reminder to me a couple of weeks ago when you mentioned this, how important it is at the end of every day to thank your staff. We're not talking necessarily about, oh my gosh, my staff, I need to give them more money or do this to keep them happy or that. Like, just expressing your gratitude for their help that day can mean the world of difference, mm-hmm. To how your office is running, and that feeling of we're all in this together, we're a family pulling through on these hard times. And it's a small thing that all of us can do that makes a huge difference to the happiness of your business.
Absolutely.
And I think the key piece there, both of those things that we just touched on, the planning, the leadership, they're essential pieces to this puzzle that is reopening and recovering a practice. And that's why those are two of the biggest places, the biggest pages on the site, are not just on the protocols, not just on, again, that information is there, not just, you know, the PPE, how to get it, why you need it, not just the PPP of how you take advantage of the forgiveness, but the importance of the team, the importance of ramping up in a planned and executing that plan, and again, leading effectively. So it's all there on the site.
Thank you guys so much for your time. The website's reopeneyecare.com, and we appreciate all the work that the entire group involved in this project has been doing, donating their time, donating their expertise to give all of us a resource. So everybody, thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to talking with you next time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms,
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.